Welcome to the Chris Ramey Show, the Monday, February 15th, 2021 edition of the program, the President's Day edition of the program. Martin Kilcoyne joins me in a moment, and at the end of our chat, we're going to play old-timey baseball player or old-timey politician, where I give Martin names of old-timey baseball players and politicians, and he has to tell me who they are. It's America's least favorite game show. But don't forget, subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Scoops with Danny Mac is the name. And head over to scoopswithdannymac.com for all the latest from yours truly, Dan, Bernie, Martin Kilcoyne, Charlie Marlowe as well. And it's a pleasure to welcome Martin Kilcoyne to the program. Of course, you can see Martin on Fox 2. You can hear Martin all over scoopswithdannymac.com. What's going on, man? How are you? Happy President's Day.
Chris, happy snow day. It's kind of a waste for the kids, right? They were already off school because of President's Day. And you look outside, it's a snow day. But you know how it rolls these days. I got a feeling the kids will be off tomorrow as well. It's fun to look at. It's not fun to be in it, but it's fun to look out. I mean, you grew up in Chicago, and it's like 5'4", 5'6", like, that's a joke, right? I mean, in Chicago, it's like, give me a foot or don't even talk to me.
Yeah, I think the issue in a lot of places, and I lived in Memphis where, you know, a dusting of snow, there's not the infrastructure to deal with it. And a couple of times over the last handful of years, I remember when either snow or sleet stuff late in an afternoon would then freeze and the highways just gridlock because they're not out salting the roads. I get it, but it can be a big pain, especially in a city like St. Louis where everyone's driving around.
Well, and to your point, the Super Bowl that the Rams were in Atlanta, it was an ice storm that week, but they don't really have, I mean, if you're in the South and you run those cities, are you going to spend millions and millions of dollars on plows and trucks? And no, because you're never going to need it. So when it does happen, you just sort of shut it down, ride it out. Well, that week, bad news is they had a Super Bowl to play, but there was ice. It was a nightmare. You couldn't, like, if I had a live shot at the Georgia Dome, but the interviews were at the team hotel, you know, it'd be like a 2-hour commute, what would have been a 15-minute commute. So fun to talk weather with a guy from the Midwest who's also spent time in the South. Memphis is the South, right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. It's
I consider it.
Got to be more, yes, South than anything else. Does it feel like it's spring training?
It does not. Although for many years, I remember being down there and it was like the hackneyed sports guy. Every tossback live on TV would be like, hey, I don't know what the temperature is up there, but it's cooling off tonight to 75 down here. I mean, everybody did the same stupid F joke, you know.
And then conversely, everyone in St. Louis thinks that you're like laying on the beach if you're down at spring training. Not that you're sitting at a complex for 16 hours a day waiting for someone to tell you, let's talk tomorrow instead.
100%. Because you'd go down there and you'd spend, you know, a month there. We'd spend like a week there. And people would say, oh, did you go to the ocean? No. Did you see the ocean? No. I went to this little sub shop over here and got my card stamped 10 times because we were doing 28 reports today. Hey, listen, it's fun to be down there, but it's, you know, I had an old boss one time. He's like, you guys bringing your clubs? And I'm like, well, if you don't have me live at 9, 10, and 11, maybe I would, you know. But no, I wish I was down. I know it's going to be weird this year and the coverage is going to be totally different, but it does feel good getting off that plane down there in Florida. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it does. Hopefully everything moves forward and we don't have any issues. It's just been a weird off season around the industry. And, you know, the last couple of weeks, I think Cardinals fans' perspectives have changed entirely. But does it seem to you like teams around baseball consistently are trying to win right now in the midst of all of these crazy, circumstances that everyone's been dealt and continues to deal with?
It feels like there's a handful of teams who are saying, you know, well, let's go for it. Who cares about losing money? Who cares about the pandemic? You know, like the Padres are all in. The Dodgers are spending even more money. The Mets with the crazy new owner. And I say that in a term of endearment. It's fun to have a guy like that in the game. But there are a handful of teams who are saying, why not? You know, if everybody's sort of sitting back and waiting, and the Cards division is a great example of either sitting back or unloading – you know, and I don't know if you can make a shirt, Chris, but I've been saying seize the Central, right? It's there for the take. Let's seize the Central.
I like it.
Start with that. But I'm fascinated by the Cardinals offseason because, and I did talk to John Mozeliak about it, if you don't get Nolan Arenado, and it was clear to me they were sort of waiting on Wainwright Molina, see what the money is on Arenado. How much do they pay this year? If none, excuse me, I got a throat thing. It's okay. I don't have the Rona, but I got a throat thing. But if you don't get that deal done, I mean, Molina might even be less inclined to want to be here, you know, and you'd have more money to spend with these guys. But if that doesn't happen, you know, you're a terrible GM / president of baseball ops. You pull it off. And he said, that's why I told you guys I was nauseous, because he said, it's not even about this year. He said, I feel like it's a franchise altering move to have a guy like that in position for the next 5, 6, 7 years. It's so much is riding on that. And it's weird because you and I know Mo really well. And the criticism that I think is fair is that sometimes they're overly cautious or pragmatic and they stick to their system. And it's sometimes kind of boring as a fan. Well, if you think about this Arenado deal, that's a tremendous game of poker. And like, either we do this and we cash out big, or we lose and we look like idiots that did nothing. And you can't hold a press conference that says, well, we almost got Arenado. So it's amazing how much they rolled the dice on one deal.
You know, I think about the Arenado acquisition and the Goldschmidt acquisition. And around baseball, I think, you know, fans want to feel like their team is a desired team to come to play on. And I think more important than that is to look at Goldschmidt signing his extension before he ever played a game in St. Louis as a Cardinal. Arenado saying the right things, but, you know, saying that he wants to be here and he apparently, by all indications, wants to win. I think that's the best indicator of where an organization is, Martin, because them and their agents, they take a look at what's coming up through the pipeline, what the payroll sustainability is, and that's kind of, to me, the indicator of how the industry feels about your team when top guys like that want to be in St. Louis, for instance.
Yeah, and that was another topic I brought up with Mo is, you know, how much of it do you go through your back circles and say, all right, does this guy want to be here? He said, no, no doubt. We had indications, you know, whether it's Matt Holliday, whomever, that said this guy wants to be in St. Louis. I mean, before you get that far down the road with the deal, you got to make sure. And they had a window where they could talk to him about all these things. You're going to waive the no trade. How do you feel about the opt-out? They certainly had to read his mood before pulling this off. But it's a great time for a franchise who recent years – people haven't wanted to come here. I mean, Jason Hayward took less to go to the Cubs. Just Stanton wouldn't even have a meeting in St. Louis. They had to go to L.A. for him to say, I don't want to come to St. Louis. It depends on the guy. I think young, single, they want to go to New York, Chicago, L.A. I get that. If they're a family guy, St. Louis is a better fit. But it's amazing how many of the boxes that aren't out of checks.
How do you feel about the team? Obviously, I think, as you alluded to, the complexion of the National League Central has changed. How do they stack up around baseball? And how do this group and how does this group compare to the last couple of groups when there was, you know, and has been a pretty clear, glaring deficiency offensively?
Yeah, I'm still wondering, you know, who's going to hit leadoff. Still wondering, is there enough offensively? Is your outfield going to, you can't have an outfield that doesn't contribute. I mean, in baseball, that's almost as good as Arenado could be or Goldschmidt. If your outfield is, you know, three holes in the lineup, that's a huge issue. So, but I think the strength is going to go back to what it's been, which is pitching. I think the bullpen could be outstanding. You got a lot of depth in your rotation. And that's the other thing about Wainwright. I don't think it's, you know, they didn't bring him back for nostalgia. He's been pretty good the last couple of years. So you add another arm into the mix there. You got options, whether it's Reyes or Martinez, wherever they end up. It's kind of nice to know you're not counting on either one for a particular spot. So I think it's still, even with Arenado, the team's strength still goes back to who they are. And it's good pitching, hopefully good defense. You lose a little bit with Wong not being there, but then you go and get Arenado. So I don't think they've changed incredibly what their strengths are, but the lineup, which has been a question mark, still will be, got a huge boost by getting an Arenado. It eliminates some of the doubt.
Martin Gilcoyne is with us on the Chris Raby Show on Scoops with Danny Mac. You know, so pitchers and catchers reporting, I was just looking through some stuff, and it was today, February 15th, 1978. I know there have been a bunch of great pieces about it. Rick Hummel has talked about it. But Leon Spinks pulls one of the biggest upsets in sports. The St. Louis native shocks the world, which I guess you can't really shock the world right now with the way we have social media and everyone's plugged in to everything. But Leon Spinks beats Muhammad Ali in Vegas. And I was thinking about it, Martin, like the Arenado deal was kind of a shocker in and of the fact that it came out of nowhere, but the Cardinals have always been linked to him. And, you know, it always pops on social media before, although the Cardinals and the Blues, I think, both do a good job of, you know, not having stuff break way early. But you don't really have that upset like you did with Leon Spinks back in 1978, when then the next couple of days, it's like, here, did you hear about what happened? Did you hear about what happened? Everyone knows what happens. You don't have those kinds of crazy upsets. You can't really shock the world anymore in any sense, especially in sports.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, in our world, most recent, like, wow, out of nowhere. For whatever reason in my head, Mizzou hiring Frank Haith comes to mind. Like, we knew they were looking for a coach, and like, who? Yeah. What? And I think
Who? Yeah, you have to Google
it. Yeah, it was like a Sports by Brooks or somebody broke it, and you're like, wait a minute, is this true? Like, that's the last one I can think of, because Arenado had been talked about, but I think Cardinal fans had some Arenado fatigue. Like, yeah, we get it. They like him. We get it. He wants out. We get it, but it's not going to happen. But to your point, it rarely, things usually sort of percolate for a little while. And, you know, La Russa, oh, the White Sox are interested. Oh, wait. And then it happens. You know, there's always sort of this buildup for things to come through. But I think with Arenado, we wondered, would they really get to the finish line? And I think the Rockies were over a barrel a little bit. Certainly it was a bad deal, looks like, by everybody's assessment. But Mozeliak compared it to Edmonds Rolland. He said, I was a young GM, and Rolland and Edmonds said, I want to be traded. And the Rolland dynamic with Tony had soured to where it was probably Tony as much as Rolland saying, time to go. But he said, I got Edmonds saying, you know, it's time for me to leave. Rolland saying, it's time to leave. He said, so I can sort of see where the Rockies were. Where you got an iconic player that you don't really want to move, but if they want out, you got to do something. So you had him in the right position to get this deal done. You know, Spinks, it's interesting. The commission has told this story. Rick Hummel has been around a long time. We know that. But he was covering Spinks training, and I think he alluded to it in one of his pieces, but he's up in like the Catskills somewhere in upstate New York, and Leon Spinks is training, and they're mad at the Globe Democrat for printing a picture of Leon arrested or something, and they think that the Comanche is the Globe, even though he's the Post, which back then you had the two papers. But the person who kicks the Comanche out of the press conference and says, you're not allowed to be here, we're upset with your coverage, was Mr. T kicked the Comanche. It's unbelievable, connecting these dots. Mr. T escorts Rick Hummel out of the press conference for Leon Spinks as they were mad at him about the paper. But that one, yeah, you think
was that like the original entourage? Like,
I guess he was in that. You know, I don't know. Was that a Don King thing? I don't know. But that's before, you know, his Rocky famedom hit. So
right.
I'm sure Mr. T is pretty hard to not recognize. I'm sure a couple years later, the commission said, hey, wait a minute, that's the guy who bounced me from the press conference. But that's my favorite commission, Leon Spinks, 2 degrees of separation. But rarely do we get surprised. I even think agents, teams will float stuff. You know, like when Rick Riley wrote that Michael Jordan might come back, that's when he was going to play with the Wizards. I felt like that was either Jordan or his agent saying, let's just put it out there. And if people hate it, maybe we won't do it. I don't know. Like, just kind of to gauge the room. I think sometimes things leak just to see what the response is. So it's almost impossible these days for something to come out, like, out of nowhere. You know, if today the Cardinals traded for Mike Trout, we'd be like, holy moly, there was nothing. Heyman, Rosenthal, nobody had it.
Yeah, you can kind of connect certain reporters to certain agents too, right? Like, you can kind of see where some of the motivations are maybe coming from, especially around like the winter meetings.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. I think you get the sense who's, you know, and the agents are mostly, I mean, the teams are part of it sometimes, but the agents certainly fuel it. And a lot of times, well, no, every time, I guess, it's to the benefit of their client, no doubt, right? That they're going to, so-and-so wants out, we're hearing, you know, oh, really? Who says that? The team wouldn't say that. Then, you know, lowers their leverage. But yeah, the agents play the game well. The Pujols deal that one off season. And I think it was Bob Nightingale, who I think was pretty tight with Lozano, who was Albert's agent. But we just kept hearing there was a mystery team. There was a mystery team. And I kind of laughed about it. Like every negotiation, you know, you and I go in to talk to a boss. We say, well, there's a mystery station. And they'd be like, yeah, go ahead. Why don't you sign with that mystery station? It doesn't apply to the real world for the rest of us. But what's interesting, years later, and it wasn't Miami because I think they were a little more public that they tried, you know, they were going to sell every piece of property they had to maybe make a run at Albert. But I heard years later that Cincinnati got in on the Pujols talks, and Jocketty was there. Castellini, who is the owner, had been a Cardinals owner, knew Albert, and they sort of saw this as a way to sort of shift the balance of power in the division. And I've not asked Bob Nightingale this, but I wonder if that was in fact the mystery team, because to my knowledge, it got back to the Cardinals, and Bill DeWitt was like, wait a minute, if he doesn't come here, he could end up in our division. Seeing him come here, you know, 10 times a year, whatever the number is. And I think that spooked him a little bit and may have changed their offer, which he ultimately turned down. But I need to find out if that was, in fact, the surprise team, because we all need that tactic. That's surprise.
That's a pretty amazing like revisionist history. What would have happened if he had gone to perhaps the Reds? Like, not just foreseeing what their team would have looked like what happens to Joey Votto and what's, you know, the future of that organization. But then you're right, seeing him in St. Louis right off the bat and seeing him in St. Louis like 10 times a year, I wonder if there would have been a lot more animosity because you would have seen him right away. People would have been angry. I think that it was, you know, the perfect amount of time to see him come back with the Angels, because they're really, aside from a few maybe knuckleheads, I think people were pretty consistent in the appropriate sentiment the way he was welcomed back. That was about a perfect weekend, but it would have been weird to see him in the division.
Yeah, imagine the anger, and there were plenty of fans who were upset, but imagine if it's down the road and playing here, and he goes to California, you don't really see him, they're playing at midnight, you never see his highlights unless, you know, we grab one here and there. It would have been in your face in Cincinnati, and it would have been Jocketty and Castellini, some Cardinal guys, sticking it to their old team, in a sense. I'm 100% confident in what I was told, that this was true. Now, how serious it got, I don't know. Did Albert not want to go there for many reasons? I don't know. But that's one I would love to sort of dust off one day with the Jocketties and Mosaics of the world.
Give me your – do you have another favorite, like, St. Louis revisionist history, St. Louis? Like, what could have been if this thing – I guess urban legend's not the right word, but this thing that people talk about as being close to having happened actually happened. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, the one that I would sort of hang on to, except it's been demythed, if that's the word, debunked at least. It's a podcast. We can make crap up, right? It would have been Bill Lorre, when he was owning the Blues, wanted an NBA team. And as much as we talk about it, you know, Cusimano and I did radio for years, and anytime, well, let's do some phone calls, open phones, you know, and I'm sure you did it in your career, open phone. What do you want to talk about? Yeah, I was wondering, do you think we'll ever get an NBA? I mean, how many times does that just kind of get thrown out there? But I think the closest it ever was to being possible, you got Bill Lorre, he's got $1 billion. So he's the right guy money-wise. He's got a building, he's got a tenant. So now you can save on some money by owning two of the teams that play in your building. And I always thought if that had gone through, and there's all this urban legend that he had the Vancouver Grizzlies purchased or an agreement, but the urban legend was he went to the owner's meeting and rubbed everybody the wrong way. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but he wasn't the most social guy. Now, Mark Sauer, who was a recent guest, shameless plug, the Kilcoin Conversation. Sauer was interesting career because he was the Blues president. He had been the Pirates president, the Cardinals president, always a sports executive, and sort of gets critiqued for demolishing teams and stripping them down. And, you know, one of the things we talked about was his Blues run. He said, listen, I was there when we hired Quenneville and we got the President's Trophy. We were playing, you know, he said, towards the end, the Lorries were losing money. It was time to get out. He said, at the end, we did sort of strip the team down, but that was after a really good run. But one of the things I asked him was about that NBA story. And he said, it never got that far. So I'd always believed, man, Bill Lorre was the perfect guy to bring the NBA here. Mark Sauer's answer was, let me just tell you, we couldn't get David Stern to call us back. And now you're talking about a guy with $1 billion putting the call in, Bill Lorre. Apparently the NBA was not interested. So that's one I would have always said, man, if only that's the guy who loved basketball, wanted it in St. Louis. If they come here, they're not going to Memphis. And if you're the NBA, you'd have got a team in Chicago, Indianapolis, now Memphis. It sort of covers the region. I think would always eliminate in the future. I don't see St. Louis getting a team because of the proximity to those teams But that's when I always thought, if only Laurie had gotten it done. But according to Mark Sauer, it was never that close.
Martin Kilcoyne, hey, before we go, it is President's Day and spring training starting. So how do you feel about playing a couple quick rounds of old-timey politician or old-timey baseball player?
This is a first time playing, so I will. Do I pick one of the two?
I'm going to give you two names, and these are real people, and you tell me if the person is an old-timey politician or an old-timey baseball player. These are all real people who either served senators or played Major League Baseball. So here we go.
Okay.
The first. Patsy Donovan, is that an old-timey baseball player or an old-timey politician?
Didn't have a three-finger or four-elbow brown in there, so I'm going to go politician.
That's a baseball player. That's a baseball player. How about Oyster Burns?
Now, see, I want to say that's a baseball player, but I feel like you're going to go oppo after the last. I'll go baseball.
That is a baseball player. Very good. Yeah, don't overthink it. How about Bork B. Hickenlooper?
Let's see. That feels political. I'll go politician.
That is a politician. Two in a row. Pretty good. And people can Google these. These are all real. How about Middleton P. Barrow?
Middleton P. Barrow. He's probably wearing an ascot, probably at the club playing squash. Middleton. I'm going to go politician.
That is a politician. You got three in a row. We'll do a couple more.
Is there a lightning round here? Do I get double points or anything?
Yes. All right. Lightning round starts now. How about Boardwalk B. Braun?
That feels like a baseball.
That is a baseball player. Let's see. We'll do two more.
You know, I can't Google this fast. So trust me. This is all on the fly here.
Pretzels Getzen.
Oh, boy.
Why don't we have names like this anymore?
First of all, these are names that need to be applied in the press box. Because, like, you know, there's like a stringer reporter or does some radio clip. One of the guys up there probably eats pretzels for free all day. We need to dub somebody at Busch Stadium Pretzels.
Jack Flaherty gets the start. Stop. Pretzels in the press box. Stop.
Yeah. Pretzels Solomon. Something like that. hold on. Did I answer the question?
I'm going to say Pretzels Getzen.
Baseball.
Baseball. And finally, how about King Kelly?
Whew. Be tough to be a politician king unless you had a huge ego. You know, we've elected a king. I'm going to go politician.
That's a baseball player.
I knew it.
These are great. These are great names. We got to bring these back.
Yeah. If nothing else, we bring them back or we reapply them to other folks.
Okay. We'll just start slapping nicknames.
Multi-use. Everybody's got a nickname in sports. Come on. You can't watch a Konzo Martin press conference without Tilly. Like, Tilly? Who's? Oh,
yeah,
Tillman.
But they're all just the hockey nicknames. It's not like Jeremiah Jackrabbit Tillman. Yeah.
Right. It's not an adjective that's been applied here.
Martin.
Everybody's.
Oh, I was trying to.
Hold on. Let's see. Chris. Let's see. Chris Nachos Raby, just for today.
Nachos Raby. That's good.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to stick. That's okay.
And you'd be like, let's go down to Martin the Mongoose Kilcoyne. Hey,
yeah, would you think of me? They think speed.
Yeah, like let's finish up this report and head down to the speakeasy. See, get a little gin and juice. Maybe do maybe do a little bit of the jitterbug with some flapper girls.
I like the old timey. I actually am mad at you. However, I just remembered this. We talked a while back, and for the Danny Mac and Scoops, and you guys would do a little segment. I said you got to grab that song. Ooh, there it is, and turn it into Scoops. There it is. Right? Remember me saying this?
Okay. You know what?
Months and months ago, and now it's a freaking commercial. Scoops, there it is. The ice cream or something. I don't know what it's for.
You know what? I'm going to make that this week, and this week we will debut it with Dan, and we'll dedicate it to you.
Scoops, there it is. I thought it was genius, and then now there is a popular commercial that's doing it. I'm telling you, folks, we had it first. I'm going to find the email. We had it first.
Yeah, I actually think it's a text, so go find it, and I'll make it this week. You're the best, man. Appreciate
it.
And enjoy. I'm going to hope you brush up on your old-timey baseball player, old-timey politicians before round two.
Four Shovel Kilcoyne is heading outside right now.